what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It is the devotion expressed in the final sentence of the Declaration, the willingness to do anything for our principles, that has throughout American history been most indispensable. It is that devotion that we are missing today and that we must find in our hearts if this nation is to endure.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas gave a great speech at the University of Texas Austin last week. It got covered as if it was all about attacking progressives, and boy, what a shallow, superficial, silly analysis. Yes, that's true, but that was not the bulk of it. I talked about this extensively in the first hour, so go back and listen to the podcast if you missed it. It's worth it, talking about what it was like as a black kid growing up in the South when, you know, the principles of the Declaration of Independence were not realized, and yet we all believed in them and advocated for them and worked towards them, and why that's so valuable. The Declaration of Independence, not just the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, but then that government's consent of the governed is key, and that we would devote ourselves to action to making that happen. Again, fantastic stuff. He continues talking about, well, why did it take so long? If everybody knows this stuff, why did it take so long for us to do the right thing? Well, courage versus cowardice.
It did not take me long in Washington to stop wondering why the Supreme Court took 60 years to overrule Plessy versus Ferguson, the 1896 decision that endorsed government-enforced racial segregation and validated the Jim Crow South that I grew up in. It could not possibly have taken my court 60 years to know that Plessy was a hideous wrong and that racial discrimination was grossly incompatible with our colorblind Constitution. The justices must have known it all along. The right thing to do, as Justice Harlan spelled out in his lone dissent, was obvious, as it so often is.
One justice dissented from separate but equal, the doctrine in Plessy versus Ferguson, and he said it can't possibly have been that they didn't know the ruling was wrong. They didn't know it was a violation of the principles of the Declaration and the Constitution. So why did it take so long to overturn it?
Perhaps what stood in the way was cowardice. The justices may have been afraid of the societal consequences. They may have been afraid of coming under political fire. They may have been afraid of losing their social standing. They may have been afraid of bad press. They could have been concerned that if they began to enforce a colorblind constitution, they would have to address interracial marriage next. But in any case, for 60 disgraceful years, they made American children like me grow up in a racial caste system because it was easier to do nothing than to do the right thing.
But as he was so eager to point out, not proof that America is bad, but proof that America fails to live up to its own ideals that we should believe in and keep working for, and that those ideals gave black children like him growing up in the South hope in spite of the failure.
When Americans look to Washington and wonder why it is so often disappoints, it is not because there are too few people who know what is right. It is not because we lack the intellect or the capacity or the talent. It is instead because there are too few people who are willing to do what it takes to do the right thing, to sacrifice the popularity, flattery, comfort, and security that are the purchase price for principle. It is because too few of us reflect on and reflect the courage and commitment of that final sentence of the Declaration. And so many seem to have forgotten how much others have sacrificed so that this nation could exist and endure.
And that's exactly it, that last sentence, that we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Come what may, we're willing to die or live for these principles. That's the difference.
Until we have a devotion that matches the courage of those who made this country possible, I seriously doubt, any amount of study or development of insights about our Constitution will make much difference. There's a world of difference between what it takes to score academic points and what it takes to protect and defend the Constitution as we are sworn to do.
It's not so much the not knowing what's right, although it's important that people know. It's absolutely essential that they are willing to actually fight for it, to implement it, to work towards it. That's the key. And as he said, it's cowardice so much of the time with the consequences and the implications that people don't do the right thing. We'll come back to this more throughout the day, probably also next week, because there's so much in the speech that's fantastic. Right now, we've got traffic on the fives with PJ.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Otherwise, no problems or delays to report. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Why is Brother Andrew excited about the revelations from the Department of Justice about the Southern Poverty Law Center? Find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring in our new 2026 Subaru models, like the all-new 2026 Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 3.9% for an amazing 75 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Descent? Finance either one for 2.9% for 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek, Ascent, and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Bands on the Beach happens every Tuesday night at 7 with the Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and enjoy the great music while the sun sets over the sand. This week, Chase Mitchell takes the stage. Chase is a Gulf Coast native and toured nationally as a child and teen, sharing stages with artists like Taylor Swift, Jason Aldean, and Rascal Flatts. We'll see you this Tuesday at Bands on the Beach with the Santa Rosa Island Authority and Cat Country 98.7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the state of Florida for once again taking action to undermine everything we stand for. The Florida Board of Governors, which oversees all the public colleges and universities in the Gunshine State, officially ended the requirement that students take sociology courses in order to receive their undergraduate degrees. Yes, a truly sad day, I know. Their justification for this heinous act of intellectual discrimination was the claim that sociology courses were not advancing objective, neutral instruction, but had drifted into promoting leftist, liberal, woke ideologies. Well, of course they had. That was the whole intent of the sociology department from the beginning. All you're telling us is that it's been working. Much like social work, psychology, communications, literature, English, and pretty much every other humanities course, the entire idea was to pretend to be teaching neutral objective truths while actually reshaping all these brainwashed students from conservative homes into dutiful little Marxists and Leninists. I mean, this is far more obvious when you look at gender studies, queer studies, black studies, and the like, but we had done a good job of rebranding when we started referring to the other progressive indoctrination fields as social sciences, counterfeiting on the credibility of, you know, actual sciences like chemistry and physics. But if Florida students no longer have a general re-education requirement like sociology, how will they learn to believe in critical race theory, understand intersectionality, hate America, feel white guilt, see the violence inherent in the system, grasp systemic oppression, and become good little feminist man-haters? Obviously, for now, we can still get them to abandon their naive Christian beliefs and love of America through coursework in philosophy, anthropology, and history. But that's just the tearing down phase of our college indoctrination protocols. You still have to build them back up into effective social justice warriors who are immune to the siren song of capitalism, limited government, and biblical theology. And without sociology to do this, the programming will simply not be complete. But for now, at least there's always grad school. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to take a moment to bask in the success of Monday's International Cli-Fi Day festivities. Every April 20th is set aside to celebrate the important genre of climate fiction, which is writing that explores themes around man-made damage to the planet and climate apocalypticism. It's so important to foster literary creativity around plots that not only scare new people into joining our movement to save our dear mother Gaia from the ravages of climate change, but also reinvigorates our own fears of the coming ice age or fire age or whatever catastrophe we're promoting this week. Yes, strategically injecting scary new climate buzz terms like heat dome or polar vortex or bomb cyclone into the ordinary weather conversation has been a very effective tool for increasing climate alarmism. But we can always do more. And the fictional authors who devote their plots and characters to exploring the nuances of terrifying weather are not only making money from their fear-mongering, but they're doing us all a favor by raising awareness of the fight we're in. At this year's Cli-Fi celebration, we heard an excerpt from Henrietta Stoutfern's excellent novella, The Fires of Man Burn Hottest, about a deadly mishap at a poorly maintained coal plant. We heard selections from Philippa Yeager's off-Broadway play, The Iceman Cometh Not, about the terrifying nexus between increasing global temperatures and male impotence. And Judith Rees-Amalfi actually came here and read from her masterpiece of climate romance fiction, Doing Right by Going Left, a heartwarming but not planet-warming story about Kate, a big-city lawyer who returns home to help rescue her aging grandmother's small-scale urban hemp farm and falls in love with Jim, the local owner of a medical marijuana dispensary. Together, they advance the cause of climate justice in their small New England town by banning plastic straws and gas-powered leaf blowers, all while finding love. It's so touching. Yes, Cli-Fi 2026 was a raging success with over 17 attendees, although local media made it seem as if there were more like 50 or 100. But a wonderful reminder of the power of fiction to inspire and terrify us. Remember, when you can't get enough fear and horror in your normal news, there's always apocalyptic climate fiction. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, this week's handcrafted ceramic lute of justice, 6 patchouli oil scratch and sniffs, goes to the Southern Poverty Law Center as they suffer through the atrocious attacks of He Who Shall Never Be Named's Department of Justice. The DOJ this week convinced a weak-minded grand jury to issue an indictment against the SPLC for wire fraud, false statements, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. They claim the SPLC, whose core mission is to oppose extremism, fight for racial justice, combat white supremacy, and identify hate groups, paid $3 million over 9 years to informants who were members of the hate groups they were fighting. The documents indicate the SPLC paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to members of the Ku Klux Klan, United Klans of America, Unite the Right, the National Alliance, the Aryan Nations, and the American Nazi Party for information about the activities of these groups and to promote racism and even engage in criminal activity as a mechanism for fundraising to combat the very activities they were financially encouraging. Some recipients were already members and some were infiltrators sent by the SPLC. In one case in particular, an agent called F-37 was paid $270,000 as a member of the online leadership chat group that planned the 2017 Unite the Right event in Charlottesville, Virginia, which injured more than 60 people and killed one with a car ramming. F-37 made racist posts about the rally, attended the event, and even facilitated transportation for other attendees, all with the SPLC's guidance and funding. And they did this all secretly through fraudulently managed bank accounts so the payments would not be known to their donors or to banks. Now look, obviously we aren't mad at the SPLC for paying racists to make it seem like racism is more of a problem than it really is. No, we're mad at the SPLC for getting caught paying racists to make it seem like racism is more of a problem than it really is. But our anger that they got caught pales in comparison with the jubilation we experienced at seeing the successful outcomes of their efforts. Yes, we know it looks like hypocrisy for the SPLC to pay the leader of the American Nazi Party $70,000 while also listing him as an extremist on their website, literally raising funds to fight against him while paying him off with those funds. But that's only because you've forgotten that being hypocritical isn't a problem for us. We say one thing and do something else all the time. We know it seems weird to raise money to fight racism and then turn around and pay that money to racists to make racism worse. But that's only because you don't understand counter double backflip reverse psychology activism. It's psyops and false flag activism all rolled into one giant bundle of fraudulent fundraising. Saul Alinsky would be so proud. You see, it's totally okay to pay money to make racism seem worse than it seems because it really is worse than it seems. After all, it's so hard these days to actually catch a racist in the act of racism. So it's a much better strategy to pay to create a racist episode. That way we know where to show up and film it, so we can then show people how bad the racism is. For years, critics have said the SPLC was wrong in identifying organizations like the Family Research Council and the Babylon Bee as hate groups. But this proves they were right. What better way to be sure a group is fostering extremism than by paying them to foster extremism? Total vindication. But just think about the numbers for a moment. For every dollar spent artificially inflaming extremism and white supremacy, the SPLC can show they were able to generate between $23 and $56 in donations raised, meaning it was a damn good investment. Plus, think of all the self-congratulatory sentiments experienced by the people who donated this money. And if you really want to talk about payoff, how many times did President Biden leverage the Charlottesville, Virginia incident in his campaign speeches as the reason he was running? Uncle Joe repeatedly said that this incident made him decide to come out of retirement to defeat the unnameable one and win back the presidency. And how much was that worth to us? And since the SPLC actively helped facilitate that event, you could even say they bought the presidency with their brilliant counter-double-backflip reverse psychology activism program. The CIA manipulating foreign elections and destabilizing governments has nothing on the SPLC. So kudos to you, Southern Poverty Law Center, for creative fundraising, working to inflame racism so you can then fight racism, like setting fires that you can then get paid to put out, and for showing us that the best way to start a revolution is to actually start a revolution, and then start another revolution to fight the revolution you already helped to start. It's really brilliant, and it certainly paid you a lot of money over the years while doing so much to destroy the social fabric of American civil society. Well done, woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
627 here on News Radio 92.3. PJ is in for John Pickens. Final day filling in. Thank you, as always, PJ, for being here. Traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're thinking about working on a home improvement project or building an addition or doing something that's going to require you to go to the hardware store, or maybe you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is your place. And I know you hear me talking about them all the time. But, do it. And then you'll hear me talking about them. You're like, yeah, that's true. They're amazing. Fantastic. I love it. Glad I went. Hadn't been there. Oldest business in the entire state of Florida, but how did I not go there? 175 years. Seriously. It's been since 1851, like before there was a Civil War, like before there was Levi's jeans, there was Pensacola Hardware. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people who don't know a lot learn more and helping people who do know a lot learn more, and of course, get all the right tools and equipment that you need for the job and make sure that you do it safely. Whether it's commercial construction supply or just you as an individual needing something, they will take care of you at Pensacola Hardware. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Trump says time is on his side when it comes to the war in Iran. He was talking to reporters in the Oval Office yesterday. The president said the Iran war hasn't been going on for that long. And he said compared to the lengths of other wars, he thinks that Americans are okay with higher gas prices for now as long as it means Iran does not have a nuke. A U.S. Special Forces soldier who allegedly made over $400,000 by betting on the removal of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has been arrested and is now facing charges. The Justice Department says the soldier participated in the planning and execution of the U.S. military operation to capture Maduro. He's said to have placed a big wager in excess of $30,000 on Polymarket right before the operation was announced.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting because until yesterday, the headline had been that they were putting three candidates for office on suspension because they bet on their own campaign, one in order to show that this could be done. And those folks all got put on suspension, and there was a note in the story that somebody had bet and made $400,000 off of the Nicolas Maduro capture. And then the news broke that, oh, yeah, that was a guy who was actually photographed at the scene. He was in on the planning, and, you know, no, you really can't do that. It's like insider trading is not allowed, you know, for the betting.
I'm seeing the George Costanza in my head. Was that wrong? Was I not supposed to do that?
Exactly. But it does raise, you know, the question of how these betting on events markets are going to avoid the problem of insider trading or personal knowledge in these cases. Bands on the Beach, Tuesday night. Always a good show. 7 o'clock at Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Pentagon is going to give...
It's in Okaloosa County. Deputies say they recovered a handgun and about 200 rounds of ammunition from his hotel room. Now, Gillum is wanted in Orleans Parish for terroristic threats, and authorities say he had planned to shoot festival attendees and then be killed by police. Gillum was actually a former police officer himself from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and he had worked as a law enforcement officer until 2019 there. He's being held pending extradition to Louisiana. Well, there's some growing concerns about the two missing University of South Florida students. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office announcing yesterday that it now considers Zamil Limon and Nahida Bristy to be endangered. Deputies say that change in status is based on new information, but no details have been released. The two 27-year-olds are doctoral students from Bangladesh and haven't been seen now in over a week. It's 6:35, and PJ's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by ECUA. ECUA making service easier with the new MyECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. No accidents or delays to report. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a lovely day today with a small chance of a stray sprinkle, 10% overall, otherwise mostly sunny skies. High near 78 degrees, low tonight near 68 degrees. For Saturday, 40% chance of rain as we go into the morning and afternoon, otherwise mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
62, we've got sunshine right now. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code FAME25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code FAME25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code FAME25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risk. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap, it makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. You still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Vet CV Foundation's Veteran Resource Fair is Friday from 5 till 7 at the Vet CV Mission Center on Highway 90 in Milton. Please see vetcvfoundation.org for more info. The Pensacola Crawfish Festival is Friday through Sunday in Seville Square and Fountain Park. Come out for the great music, fun with friends, and your share of thousands of pounds of crawfish. See fiestapensacola.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Sue Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I design your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
All right, so I'm going to play something for you, and it's not going to sound like much. I know this in advance, and it's a little irritating to me that I wasn't able to find a better version of this for you. But I want you to hear something, and then let's talk about what this is, okay? All right, PJ, what does that sound like to you? People oohing and aahing, a little bit of machine noise, something moving around, but what's the basic sound that you're hearing? The knip knop of... Don't recognize it? One more time? It's a ping pong ball being hit around on a ping pong table.
That makes sense.
Okay. Not much of a story so far, except...
We built ACE, which is the first autonomous robot that can challenge professional human athletes under competitive conditions in a physically interactive game, here, table tennis.
They built a computer that can compete with professionals at ping pong. It sits on, it's a robotic arm that has, I think, 7 different points of motion, and it's surrounded by these camera arrays that can read the spin rate on the ball faster than a human can comprehend it and respond and, like I said, play competitively against a human. Now, it's not a humanoid that holds the paddle. It's a, you know, robotic arm on a contraption that moves back and forth and side to side. But they have been working on this for quite some time. Sony AI is the developer, and they built it not by programming it how to play ping pong, that's impossible, but by creating an AI that could learn how to play ping pong.
The robot uses a system of cameras to understand what's happening. It's then taking decision and is then moving the racket to hit the ball back or to serve under the official rules of table tennis.
To serve, you might wonder if it doesn't have another hand. It just holds the ball on the paddle and tosses it up in the air like you'd hold it on your open hand to serve legally, and then it just serves. And it can do all of this, and it does it with – there's no human governance. There's no human with – they basically taught it how to play by simulated feeding it, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of balls, and then it kind of gradually learned over time – okay, if I do this, it makes contact back. If I do this, it makes contact over the net. If I do this, it makes contact onto the other side. If I do this, it makes it spin right. So it learned to play completely from scratch.
The robot can really do that by learning to play table tennis from scratch. So there's no way to program a robot by hand to play table tennis. You have to learn how to play from experience.
It learns from experience how to beat the human by interacting with the human who is trying to beat it. You know, a lot of times one of the issues is that when with AI or with computers, you're helping, like the human is collaborating. This is a case where the human is trying to win through a physicality experience that's very difficult to compete against, and yet that's why it's valuable, because humans are unpredictable and they make judgments and they make quick reactions and they don't do things that a machine would do. They do things that humans do. Well, to learn to react to that.
Human-robot interaction is what makes this challenge difficult, right? And in many cases of human-robot interactions, you are dealing with a human that helps the robot or cooperates with a robot. In table tennis, we're actually facing an adversarial opponent that tries to make the task as difficult as possible for the robot, which is what makes this really interesting.
So they built this thing, like I said, just kind of like it's a dream project for these folks. They've been working on it for a couple of years, but what was the concept?
I've always been fascinated by the almost superhuman abilities of elite table tennis players. I'm not very good at table tennis myself, but as a roboticist, I have often thought in the past how interesting it would be to build a table tennis robot, and to be able to do that was kind of a dream project.
And they did. They finally put this together. But again, you can't teach it. You can't program it. There are simply too many variables to program. It literally is only possible for a large learning model or large language model, something that's going to learn artificially.
The interesting thing about a problem like robot table tennis is that it's totally impossible to pre-program everything that could happen, right? So you cannot write code that controls this robot by hand. So what we did is we resorted to a technique from machine learning that's called reinforcement learning, which is really trial and error. So we put the robot in a simulation and we shoot table tennis balls at it. And at first it's moving randomly. Eventually it will hit the ball and maybe even hit it back to the other side of the table. And at that point we have a signal that we can learn from.
So in the beginning it's not even aimed at anything, except that when it gets it on the other side of the table, they reward it. And then they reward it and they reward it and they reward it. And eventually it learns, oh, this is what I'm trying to do.
So from the ball flying in space to our robot generating a torque based on the observation of this movement, this takes us around 20 milliseconds, which is roughly 10 times faster than the reaction time of human table tennis players.
So a human table tennis competitor, even a good one, is going to take 200 milliseconds. The computer takes 20 milliseconds. That means that it reacts and identifies things faster than the human. Which means the table tennis machine is as bad as it's ever going to be right now. There will come a time where it does this task and no human can beat it. More on this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I just keep hearing Forrest Gump. I play ping pong so much, I played it in my sleep. Sorry. All right, I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Mobile Highway clear through Bela. No delays in Oliver Burgess. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, somebody texted in a note, 437-1620. They basically did the same thing any human does to get better at whatever sport they participate in, by watching, by seeing, by working, by learning. You can't teach the rule. You can teach the rules, but it's hard to teach people how to do it. You just have to continue to get practice and get feedback and get better. And, yeah, and by the way, one of the most interesting pieces of this to me is number one, the fact that it's fundamentally unfair. You say, it's unfair because the optical recognition system and the cameras give it faster, more information than a human brain can take in. Your human eyes, I'm fairly good at table tennis. I mean, I'm certainly not any kind of pro level, but, you know, fairly good. And at least in my experience, you don't read the ball spinning. It's spinning too fast and it's too small and it comes at you too quickly. You can read the seams on a baseball when it's being thrown at you, but they're red against a white background and you've got a fair amount of time to do that. But I've never thought it was even possible to, with your eyes, read the spin rate of a ball. What you do instead is you read the racket, how the racket moves and how the ball moves in the air, and you get used to that over time. So they have an unfair advantage because the computer can instantly tell it what the spin rate is, so it knows exactly how to counter that, exactly how to interact with that. But the question is always, okay, it can do this, but what does it do, for example, when a ball hits the net? Because if a ball hits the net, it changes the trajectory, it dribbles over or it bounces at a different angle, it's going to have a different spin rate once it interacts with the net. How does the computer, the AI with the machine, react to a mess up, where it hits the net?
In one of the early games where the ball bounced off the net and we really hadn't taken any effort to put that in our simulation, but the robot reacted flawlessly and returned the ball after it bounced from the net, and I do think we even won the point. And this is only possible because we have this combination of learned and optimization-based control.
It's surprising and not surprising. It's exactly what, the folks at IHMC are working on, this same kind of thing. The DARPA research grants are designed to encourage this kind of stuff. This is the future where you don't just have the AI as an information source or as a tool for analysis, but if you put the AI in a physicality, like some kind of a robot, whether it's humanoid or just a disembodied arm that holds a table tennis racket, it's going to be able to do basically anything that a human can do, most likely better than a human can do it, if you give it enough input and you give it enough time and training. There doesn't seem to be any limit to this other than the ingenuity of the engineers, both physically or in the software.
Shall we play a game?
That's it. That's where we're at. And by the way, this is like, it's fascinating for sports. It's fascinating to think about, the future of sports where maybe we have, robots play football instead of people because, the robots don't get concussed. Somebody texts in, how do you reward a robot? More WD-40? Ha, 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 ha. I mean, will the robot get jokes? I don't know. It doesn't get them yet. But we wouldn't have thought the robot could write you a critical essay on the literary comparison between, Flaubert and, Molière. Like, you wouldn't have thought that was possible. Now it is. So what can the machines do? Certainly sports. They're already driving cars. What about human interactions of all sorts? The robot's a learning tool. What can it learn to do better than other humans can do? Where's the limit? So, yeah, it's a horrifying and exciting and horrifying and exciting and horrifying and exciting. 437-1620, 437-1620. Which way do you side? I side on the horrified side. Personally, if you can have robots fight fires and you don't have to put humans in the danger, I'm excited. If you have robots replacing humans in relationships and in the workforce and teaching literature and preaching sermons, I'm horrified. So, applications are going to matter here. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic at this. 209 homes sold last year. Now, during the peak when, selling a home was easy, like you'd put a sign out and you get three offers just for that moment, they were well over 200 homes a year. Then when that started to change a little bit because of interest rates and the prices had gone up quite a bit and uncertainty about the economy, 3 years ago they had sold 175. Then 2 years ago, 165. So it had dropped a little bit each year. And, I mean, that's still like three a week. That's still an amazing number. But then last year, the market, still what it was, still challenging, their team is back up 30% to 209 homes, so which is amazing, four a week. So what does that mean for you as somebody who's looking for a realtor? It means they know the market, they know the pricing, they know how to sell it by staging it, photographing it, listing, what price, follow-up, all of that kind of stuff. But you have the confidence of knowing that they will get the end result. They're going to get your house sold, or they're going to get you the house bought that you're trying to get, and you get expert advice along the way to solve the problems. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Got a bunch of people texting in on the subject of the AI computer robot that can beat the, not top pros, but it's competitive with professionals at table tennis at the moment. Somebody says, who knew Skynet was going to start with table tennis? Ping pong, it's funny. South Park showed us this when robots start telling jokes, Funny Bot tried to kill everyone on the planet. You know, and like right now, we have computers calling balls and strikes in Major League Baseball better than the umpires can, just like they've been doing for several years in tennis, you know, in and out, right? And then the $6 million man, somebody says, I always hate when they said we can make him better. So, you know, better than God could make him. But that's the prospect. Better memory, Johnny Mnemonic, you know, better bionics. We got the Marines that are getting these rifles that will teach them more effectively how to shoot the drones and tell them when they can and can't shoot. It's just, it's hard to see the end of it. It really is hard. Despite all the movies, it's hard to see the end of it. Let's see. PJ has traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Take a step forward in your career with Progressive Insurance. With great benefits and an award-winning workplace, apply at careers.progressive.com. No problems or delays to report. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Oh, I have kind of a, I don't know, I think it's cool. I have won an award from the News Service of Florida. The 50 over 50 award for 2026. So you got to be old enough to get it. Great people over 50. But, you know, when they first told me I was going to get this award, I thought, okay, you know, I mean, how big of a deal is it? I don't know. I didn't think much of it, frankly, at the time. But I'm looking at the list that came out. And these are like presidents of universities, the mayors of cities, CEOs of companies and entities and organizations all around the state. And I was like, oh, gee, this is kind of a nice group to be named among. You know, I'm the only media person on here, I think. There are two of us from the Pensacola area. Henry Kelly from Blue Wind is also on the list, which is pretty amazing. But like, I'm looking at all these names. And honestly, when I first, you know, got the word, I'm like, okay, you know, cool. And now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh. Wow, this is, I'm humbled by being included in the group. So it's, you know, fantastic, fun, interesting, and I always feel a little bit weird about awards, honestly. But I'll take it. 657 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, first off, congratulations on that award,
Thank
Andrew.
You.
That is awesome. A federal watchdog is launching a review of the Justice Department's handling of the Epstein files. The Inspector General releasing a statement Thursday saying their review will focus on the department's identification, collection, and production of the government files related to Jeffrey Epstein. It's also said the review will focus on processes for redacting and withholding material. One person has died. Five people have been injured after a shooting at the Mall of Louisiana in Baton Rouge yesterday. Baton Rouge police say that five people are in custody in connection with that shooting. And going back to your robots here, OpenAI releasing a new ChatGPT model, GPT-5.5.
Fantastic.
OpenAI President Greg Brockman believes it's a step towards a sort of electronic Swiss Army knife that can do multiple tasks. We'll have to see if it can spell strawberry.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody says AI preaching is already here. Songs are just 3-minute messages. Several AI singers on Spotify. I was amazed by the vocals and the heartfelt emotions. You know, asked Google to confirm it was AI and others since then. Juno Sky, I guess, is one that they're talking about. And, you know, that it is soul sounding. It's emotional. It's meaningful. Oh. I'm like, you know, I have always said that you cannot tell. The Bible specifically tells you that you will not be able to tell when Jesus is coming back. You won't know. It's going to be a surprise. And that's why it's always funny when people try to predict it, right? It's hard to see it waiting a long time from now. Because, you know, what version of the dystopian tech future is going to happen before Jesus has to come back and rescue us from it? Oh, my goodness. And you're right, you know. It's not all slop. That's the scary part. When it's slop, you can still reassure yourself that at least humans are better than this. It's not all slop, whether it's physical activity or intellectual product. I'm on the terrified side.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.